Now, Secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council says that no deal should violate Syria's sovereignty. Ali Shamkhani says that some terrorist elements are using the Syria peace talks and the ceasefire there to reinforce themselves, which is, quote, unacceptable. He warned that these terrorists never abide by any commitment and rather use every opportunity to pursue their inhumane goals. Shamkhani made the remarks in a meeting with Russia's special envoy to Syria, Alexander Lavrentiev, in Tehran. The Iranian official also warned that Israel is lobbying to weaken the Syrian government and implement its policies in the region. He added that Tel Aviv has established deep and extensive links with terrorist groups in countries that support them to keep its so-called borders safe and oppress the Palestinians. Shamkhani held Astana trilateral talks as a successful way to end the crises in the region, and Lavrentiev, for his part, stressed that trilateral cooperation by Iran, Russia, and Turkey will continue until terrorist groups are eradicated. And now we're going to swing over to Leesburg. We're joined by Mr. Mike Billington of from the Asia Desk of the Executive Intelligence Review. Hello, sir, and thank you for joining us on the program. And now, of course, you know, with respect to the last round of talks, it seems there was a slight push. We didn't see it, but it might be imminent that there might be face-to-face talks. With a lot of people, outside players, feel that this, you know, shouldn't really take place because the opposition, the foreign-backed opposition, cannot be trusted in any shape or form in Syria. Your thoughts?
Well, the main thing that's not been discussed in your preview here is that Iran, while it has concerns about what's going to happen in the settlement in Syria, puts a tremendous amount of faith in Russia, and that is deserved. What Russia has done, both in building the Iran, Turkey-Russia coalition around the Astana conference, but also at Geneva, where they had meetings over the last few days, is demonstrated that by working directly with Putin, with Trump, with the United States, by forming a friendship and a partnership with Trump, who has stood up against the British neocon operations in the United States and insisted on forming a friendship with Russia as well as China. This is a complete breach of the entire modern, so-called modern history of British imperial division of East versus West. The Iran government knows this full well, and they have a certain amount of trust that Russia, in fact, by the fact that they have the support from Trump, is going to move towards a settlement in Syria. And while the Trump administration has maintained this anti-Iranian policy verbally, they have not tried to move to shut down the nuclear agreement with Iran. And in the long term, Trump is far more interested in maintaining a relationship between Russia and China. Now, what Mr. and Mrs. LaRouche, my organization, have fought for is for the U.S. to, beyond collaboration on fighting terrorism, is also to join with China and Russia on the new Silk Road. And the key to the solution in Syria is the new Silk Road. It's the development.
Now, that development. I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, sir, but you're not troubled. You're saying about the Washington-Moscow alliance here, the coordination, at least to some level, but are you not at the least troubled by the fact that Riyadh and Washington have ties and that Riyadh has been accused of sponsoring foreign-backed terrorists on Syrian soil, trying to make itself interject and insert itself as a client state for them if talks do make it an all-inclusive political, let's say, solution to the problem in Syria?
Yeah, that's a serious problem, of course. You have the Wahhabi operation, which has spawned almost all of these terrorist organizations. But again, we're dealing here with a new world geometry. Russia and China have approached the Saudis, as they've approached Israel, with a win-win policy, which says basically, do you want to continue permanent warfare on behalf of the British? Well, of course, the Saudis and the Israelis have been pawns of the British imperial policy from their beginning, from literally from the founding of the Saudi kingdom and the founding of Israel. Or are you ready to actually find a peace in which there is real development which your nation may participate in? Now, I'm not Pollyanna. I'm not saying the Saudis are going to lay down their Wahhabi ideology and join this. But even at Geneva yesterday, the Saudi-run opposition acknowledged that the U.S.-Russia, the Trump-Putin agreement, is holding in Syria, and it provides the basis upon which you can have a long-term peaceful development based on crushing the ISIS terrorist operation, which, you know, it's very hard for even the Saudis to acknowledge that that they don't want to crush this overtly terrorist operation. They simply deny that they're responsible for it, and they blame Qatar. You know how that works. But the fact is, the overwhelming power of this new Silk Road, this new paradigm for the world, which is being put in place by Russia and China, and now in a certain level of high-level collaboration with President Trump. And believe me, that is why Trump is under attack in the United States, while there's an attempted coup attempt against him. A color revolution against President Trump is precisely because he wants to bring peace to the world through collaboration with Russia and China in the new Silk Road and in a war on terrorism. So there are problems with this, and I understand Iran's concern about the Saudis and other aspects of this, but you have to look at this from the perspective of the potential for a complete transformation of the history of the British imperial division of the world, and that we're on the brink, if we follow through on this properly, as my organization and Mr. and Mrs. LaRouche are committed to doing, to bringing about this new paradigm for mankind.
Interesting. A new world order. Thank you, Mr. Mike Bilding, for joining us once again, the Asia Desk of the Executive Intelligence Review, joining us out of Leesburg.